What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. The hymn, Lord, Help Us Ever to Retain, talking there about something that has kept the faith going generation after generation after generation. One generation, as Scripture says, speaking of God's marvelous deeds to the next generation. We can call it teaching or instruction. It's usually called catechesis. It comes from a particular kind of teaching, questions and answers, and it is proven very effective throughout the history of Christianity in passing that faith on to the next generation. There are other reasons why we catechize, not just with that kind of long-term goal, but that is one of its greatest benefits. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Monday afternoon, the 6th of July. Listeners with the best questions or comments for Pastor Peter Bender on Lutheran Catechesis and Luther's Small Catechism will receive Lutheran Catechesis, Catechist, and Catechumen editions. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. And our Twitter address, @issuesetc. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, welcome back.
Todd, good to be with you again.
So the catechesis that we're talking about here comes along with this book, Luther's Small Catechism, written in the late 1520s. How can a book so old and written so long ago still be not only relevant but applicable today?
You and I are close to the same age, I think. Do you remember the book, Irma Bombeck, Everything We Need to Know We Learned in Kindergarten? That's sort of what the catechism is like. It actually wasn't written in the 16th century. It really goes back to the beginning, as it contains, first and foremost, these primary texts of Holy Scripture in the Ten Commandments. Luther didn't write those in the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord Jesus gave those things to us, those promises on the sacraments. They all came from the Lord Jesus. So its relevance today is that it's timeless, and it is the most basic and fundamental thing, just like a kindergartner learns what is most important at the earliest ages possible, and then what they've learned in kindergarten, so to speak, carries into the rest of their life. So the catechism is not kindergartenish in terms of being elementary and simplistic, but it's kindergartenish in terms of being foundational for the rest of a Christian's life, that we may know Christ and be anchored in Him.
I often talk about it as kind of the ABC primer, because you can't write until you can form letters, or read until you can read letters, but those letters first have to be memorized. We all memorized our alphabet. There's a question from Rosie, and she's asking about memorization. How do you focus more on in-depth understanding and less on rote memorization? I feel like much of my own catechesis was simply memorization.
Yes, Rosie's question reminds me of my own catechesis growing up. I didn't begin learning the catechism by heart until the seventh grade. And then it was sort of like catechetical boot camp, where it was rote memorization and get this down and so forth. And that's not how we learn our native tongue. And so one of the things about Rosie's question is that it sort of pits two things against each other that shouldn't be pitted against each other. In-depth understanding on the one hand and rote memorization on the other. They're not fighting against each other. One emerges from the other. And one of the geniuses of learning the catechism by heart at an early age, and I'm talking, Todd, preschool, kindergarten, first grade, and so forth, is that's the time in which our brains soak up these words and actually love to recite things once we've learned them. And anyone who has worked with a child and has experienced this can testify to it. So that when the, like you just said, the rudimentary, the building blocks, it's the grammar of the faith is learned, then it can take you on to new and more in-depth levels of understanding. I think it would be good to point out with Rosie's question, to clarify what we've done early on in our series together, what actually is the catechism? And the catechism of the Church Catholic are the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, those trinity of texts, and then the key passages from Matthew 28, Mark 16 on baptism, and the words of institution recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and also in St. Paul. That's the catechism, and what Luther did in his small catechism is write his simple explanations, simple in that they are devotional in character, but yet very in-depth. And I think a lot of people think of the catechism as the book I'm reaching over and grabbing on my desk here, which is several hundred pages long. I think the new synodical small catechism with explanation, I have 428 pages, something like that. And that's the small catechism with explanation. So in a sort of sense, there's a three-tier way of looking at the catechism. You've got the primary texts, which come directly out of Scripture. Even the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, is words and phrases are all scriptural. Then the secondary text, Luther's devotional expositions. And then our synodical catechism has an explanation to Luther's small catechism. And I think a lot of people think of that big, thick book as the small catechism, when in reality, there's great wisdom and understanding, especially when teaching of children and as they grow up in years. First, teach them the commandments. You know, you shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. And then move on from there, once those are mastered, into the secondary texts, the explanations. And then accompany those things all along with prayer and examples in the home of daily life.
Speaking of those children, Melanie asks a question about very small children. Melanie says, I have a one-year-old daughter and a new baby on the way. Every night we pray the Lord's Prayer before bedtime. Soon we will begin praying the evening prayer. In what other ways might I train up a child at this young age?
Keep doing that, Melanie. That's exactly right. That's how heads of households, fathers and mothers, pass on the faith to the next generation of Christians. And this word catechesis that you mentioned at the beginning, not only referring to question and answering, but at its root core, it's echoing. So when we speak to our children from the time they're infants, we don't wait until they learn the words before we start speaking to them. We start using our English vocabulary, if that's our native tongue, and we speak to them and speak to them and speak to them and speak to them and speak to them, and then all of a sudden, they echo back to us what we have said to them. There's not a word that a child has learned or begins to speak when he first starts to speak that he didn't first hear from mama and from papa. So in the same way, what Melanie is doing is exactly correct. Every night, pray the Lord's Prayer. Add the Creed to it, and go ahead and add the evening prayer. But also add the Ten Commandments, and sing. Melanie, sing. Take out your hymnal and sing. And pick one hymn and sing it a lot so that you learn it by heart. And if you learn it by heart, then your child will learn it by heart. So you couple the things that you do in prayer from the catechism, where you recite and meditate upon the text, like that of the Ten Commandments or the Creed, and then add to it singing. Singing is very important. And we haven't published it yet, but I've got the prayer book based on the small catechism, where every commandment, every petition of the Lord's Prayer, every article of the Creed, every section on baptism, Lord's Supper, confession of the keys, all the way through the Table of Duties has prayers, prayers that are generated out of the language of the primary text of the Catechism and its secondary text, its explanation. So it moves it outside of the realm of pure academics, Todd, and puts it in the context of learning the faith, echoing the faith, the words of God in daily life. So we need to do those things in the home with our children at the earliest ages. So it becomes a way of life. That's the Deuteronomy 6 passage we looked at recently. You know, these words which I command you shall be in your heart. What's in your heart are the things you love. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. All of the reference in the Psalter about singing to the Lord a new song. That's what the Catechism is. It's a song of faith, and use the hymnal to buttress and enforce that song with your children. I think this is very important for small children. So that way of life, that habitus is created. Hearing Bible stories, reciting the Catechism, Creed, Lord's Prayer, evening prayer, and singing.
We're talking about Luther's Small Catechism and Lutheran Catechesis. It's Open Lines. Pastor Peter Bender, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, is our guest. You've got a question or a comment, we invite you to submit it. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
The COVID-19 pandemic has caused many Christians to ask about whether or not the government should be telling the church when and how to gather around our Lord's gifts. In the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, the Reverend Christopher Thoma takes up this question in his article titled, Executive Orders, Divine Command. To read this excellent article and more about the church's life in the midst of a pandemic, subscribe to the Lutheran Witness today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/witness.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Augustana Lutheran Church in Moscow, Idaho invites you to receive the gifts of Christ with us. We preach Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, risen from the dead for your justification and life. Confessional, sacramental, liturgical. We're a new Missouri Synod congregation on the Palouse. We meet Sundays near the University of Idaho, 1015 West C Street. Bible study 9 a.m., divine service at 10. Find us on Facebook or visit moscowlutheran.org.
In Christ, you are crowned with glory and honor, and the fullness of that glory and honor awaits you in heaven and in the resurrection of your flesh to life and immortality.
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
To him be all glory, honor, and praise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Help us, thy Holy Lord, to learn to mourn our sin and from it turn. In faith to you and to your Son, and Holy Spirit.
Stanza 2 of the hymn, Lord Help Us Ever to Retain. We're talking about Luther's Small Catechism and Catechesis. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. It's Open Lines on this Monday afternoon, July the 6th. Any questions you have on catechesis for him, talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, our Facebook fan page. We've left space there for you to post a question or a comment, facebook.com/issuesetc. And our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE. We were talking before the break, Peter, about the really the dynamics of language and understanding, that they come along together. We don't wait to talk to our children until they learn words. They learn words and language by us talking to them. I'm acutely aware of this. My youngest grandchild is in that stage where she's not just parroting, she's beginning to say things. But what I've noticed, and maybe I just need to be reminded of it, she understands far more than she can articulate. And that imbalance of understanding and being able to articulate lasts for quite some time. With that in mind, it's really never too early to start with our children, catechizing them in these things of God.
That's exactly right. I recommend that mom and dad, firstborn child in the womb, pray at bedtime together, out loud, very important. Sing out loud. Do the same at the dinner table. Pray and sing out loud. We have a gal in our congregation, beautiful mezzo-soprano voice, and I told her son after he was born and old enough to be able to understand what I was saying, I said, August, you had the great privilege of listening to your mother sing for 9 months before you were born. And he's becoming a good singer himself. But the point that you make and are drawing attention to is so significant. Language is a miracle. Even the first language, you know, our native tongue, learning that is a miracle. And this only stands to reason because this is how God created. God said, let there be, and it was so. And our spiritual life is a miracle created by words. And the words, Todd, give what they say. This is true of our native tongue. You know, you speak and speak and speak, and then all of a sudden, the miracle of language comes out. And as you said with your grandson, he understands far more than he is yet quite able to speak. But where did that understanding come from? It came from him having received words. And that's how it works spiritually as well. This is more than an analogy. I really don't like to even use that term in this expression. It's the way it works. It's the way language works, and it's the way the spiritual language works. It's how faith is nurtured and sustained. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it just as the language, you know, our native tongue, as we hear it and make use of it and hear others use it, it wires our thinking. We have a way of thinking as Americans in the American way of English that's different from a Nigerian who speaks maybe English, but whose native tongue was some tribal language. We are wired by the language. So in the same way, the catechism, both the primary texts and then Luther's very rich, the reason they're so important, going back to that earlier question, you know, about written in the 16th century, his explanations, is because he was so thoroughly immersed in God's word that they breathe, they echo. There's that reference to catechesis again. They echo what the scriptures say. And so the word of God, the catechism, wires our thinking. It teaches us how to listen to Bible stories, how to listen to God's word, how to interpret God's word. It gives us words to confess the faith. It teaches us how to confess our sins to one another. It teaches us how to forgive one another. It teaches us how to pray. It teaches us how to receive God's gifts in the divine service with a faith in the grace of God and not in ourselves. It teaches us how to live. It shapes our life and understanding, and you know, how to live where God has planted us in this world with faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. So this is the miracle of faith that is born of this word of God, and why to do what was done for me, to hold it off until I was in the seventh grade, was terrible. But I'm thankful for having learned Bible stories and Bible stories and Bible stories in Sunday school prior to that, even though the catechism really wasn't touched upon until seventh grade.
Sarah in Kansas City says, our now 8-year-old son learned the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments beginning at age 3. We pray them every evening before bed, along with Luther's evening prayer after our Bible time. Our pastor provides a printed prayer card for each month with 2 questions and answers from the catechism that we use with the morning prayer office before school. We do homeschool. Is there a more natural as it is not specifically structured time, way to reinforce the catechism. I don't want it to feel like school to him since we homeschool already.
That's a great question that Sarah has. And when she says we pray the Ten Commandments and the Creed and so forth, my hunch is she means that we pray it by reciting it out loud. And that's good. That's part of meditation, and that's part of prayer. I would suggest if you take something like the fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, and if he's beginning to learn the explanation, we should fear and love God so that we do not despise or anger our parents and other authorities, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them, to then actually turn it into a prayer, something like this. Heavenly Father, forgive us for not honoring our parents. Or you could say, Heavenly Father, forgive me for not honoring Mom and Dad. Strengthen my faith in Jesus so that I do not despise or anger them, but honor them, serve and obey them, love and cherish them, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that takes the language of the primary text, the commandment itself, and the explanation, and turns it into a prayer, which has much less of a connotation of an academic subject as it is with a relationship of faith with God, repentant faith that confesses sins and then prays for the very things that God wills for us to be and to do in this regard toward our parents. And that's what we do in prayer. It's the voice of faith that claims those things. So I would suggest doing that. And I definitely would not give, if you may give grades out as a homeschooler in the academic subjects, do not give grades out for the faith. Everybody's learning this together. Mom, dad, every child in the household, and each according to their age and aptitude and level of understanding.
Brian says, when I was younger, our church had confirmation at eighth grade, followed by First Communion. As we got a different pastor, he pushed it to the seventh grade. Now, with our current pastor, he's putting less emphasis on confirmation and keeping it till about the 12th grade, but has moved First Communion to a much earlier age. I know the move on confirmation was to create the idea that you're never fully done with catechesis. My question is, why when was such an emphasis put on confirmation, and what Luther would have thought regarding confirmation and the First Communion age? Thank you.
Yeah, why and when was such an emphasis put on confirmation, and what would Luther have thought regarding confirmation and on First Communion age? I think that behind Brian's question, Todd, is the idea, if we could only understand correctly the history, then we would have it right today and have better practice today. And what that fails to understand is that even in Luther's day and prior to that, they were groping with pastoral questions. And by pastoral questions, I mean, what is the best way to serve catechumens toward ongoing faith in Christ, repentance and faith in Christ, towards faithful reception of the Lord's Supper? So examining the history can be helpful at times, that's for sure. I mean, you had an extensive and very well-done series with Pastor Mark Serberg on the history of confirmation in the Western Church. But finally, a lot of these questions, the practice is so varied down through the centuries. And the reason it's so varied is because churchmen, pastors of every age were groping with this question, how best to serve my people? How best to catechize them towards faithful, ongoing reception of the Lord's Supper. So in answer specifically to the question about, you know, what would Luther have thought, we referred recently to a letter that Luther had written. It was in 1533, and it was an open letter to those in Frankfurt on the Main. It was a pastoral letter, you know, how should we handle reception of the Lord's Supper, and who should be admitted to the Lord's Supper. And I think whether you practice confirmation or First Communion, whether they're together or whether they are separated, there are more fundamental questions. Do they know their sin? Do they know their Savior? Do they know the six chief parts, the primary texts of the catechism by heart? Are they able to use them? Do they hunger and thirst for Christ in the sacrament? So in this letter, this open letter, Luther says this. He says, we are concerned about nurturing Christians who will still be here after we are gone. And because it is Christ's body and blood that are given out in the sacrament, we will not and cannot give such a sacrament to anyone unless he is first examined regarding what he has learned from the catechism and whether he intends to forsake the sins which he has again committed. So there's the learning, the reception of the Word of God, and repentant faith, contrition and repentance that hungers and thirsts to live in Christ. And then he goes on to say, we do not want to make Christ's church into a pig pen, letting each one come unexamined to the sacrament as a pig to the trough. All of this we have received from the beginning of Christendom. For there we see and grasp the way in which the Creed, the Our Father, and the Ten Commandments were put together as a short summary and doctrine for the young and those in need of instruction. So it was Luther's view ultimately, and it's why he said in the prefaces to the Catechism, no one should be admitted to the Lord's table who doesn't know at the very least the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Creed. And what he's talking about is knowing them by heart, one, and number two, knowing how to make use of them in one's life. And so that's why the earlier answer about children at the smallest ages learning these texts and then praying with these texts is so significant. So he is concerned about ongoing catechesis. He's concerned about inculcating the language, commandments, creed, Lord's Prayer. How do these texts function? He's concerned chiefly then about repentance and faith. And so when the Augsburg Confession, the Apology Augsburg Confession, this letter from 1533 are talking about examining, he's talking about the pastoral responsibility of examining those catechumens. Do they know the Word of God? Do they know their Savior? Do they know their sin? And that's finally, ultimately, what it's all about in the task of catechesis. And so the questions about rites, you know, confirmation rite or First Communion rite, and whether they're together or separated, really need to rest upon these kinds of questions. What is going to serve the cause of faith? I would like us to have a more regular practice in our synod. And this is why in one of our podcasts together, we talked about Lutheran service book materials from the Agenda, the Pastoral Care Companion, including the rites of First Communion and the rites of confirmation. And I think that the introductory material to all of that is very helpful, and it's part of the official documentation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in terms of our accepted worship practices and how they are resting upon both doctrine and pastoral concerns.
We're talking about Luther's Small Catechism and Lutheran Catechesis, some open lines with Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Get his thoughts briefly on moving communion earlier along with that instruction after this.
There are so many issues throughout all levels of government that smart Christians need to view it as a way to care for our neighbor by making good decisions.
Molly Hemingway talking about her joint presentation with her husband Mark at the 2020 Virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The federal government has gotten much more involved in family formation or family destruction, abortion, other issues, and there are so many ways in which it's important for us to think about how we can defend the weak and vulnerable among us by making good decisions.
You can watch journalists Molly and Mark Hemingway making the case for Christian political engagement at this year's virtual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 24th and Saturday, July 25th. The $135 registration fee includes the ability to watch a live stream and a recording. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Did you know that for over 40 years, Lutheran Church Extension Fund has had the humble privilege of supporting Lutheran Church Missouri Synod ministries with low-cost loans and resources? This is Rahema Kavuga, Synod Relations Manager of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Because of faithful investors like you, we've been able to help church workers, congregations, schools, and organizations. To learn how you can get involved, call 800-843-8233.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Altamont, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Azona, Texas. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Mount Calvary Lutheran, San Antonio, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Rapid City, South Dakota. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Tacoma, Washington. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues, Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Responding to your questions and comments on Luther's Small Catechism and Lutheran Catechesis with Pastor Peter Bender, listeners with the best questions or comments will receive Lutheran Catechesis, Catechist, and Catechumen editions. Our call-in number live this Monday afternoon, July the 6th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address @issuesetc. And our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Before we leave the subject behind, what are your thoughts briefly, Peter, on moving communion earlier?
Right. I think that when you look at the history of confirmation, clearly in the Western Church, there was a heavy emphasis on confirmation marking admission to the Lord's table. Having said that, many pastors have been concerned about the seemingly capricious and arbitrary delaying of the Lord's Supper until 13, 14 years of age, that if a child knows by heart the catechism, primary and secondary texts, knows their sin, knows their Savior, hungers and thirsts to receive Jesus' body and blood, and the pastor can have the engagement with the parents who assist him in pastoral care of those children, that they should be admitted at a younger age for all of the benefits that the sacrament gives, providing they are examined, they're absolved, they know their sin, they know their Savior. And then their catechesis can continue on towards confirmation, which can mark a more thorough reception of all of the articles of faith and so forth. That's the way we do it here in Sussex, and it's worked very well to provide First Communion at earlier ages for those who have learned by heart the catechism. I examine them in the presence of their parents. Sometimes they need more catechesis, and then that's okay, and then we'll do some more catechesis. And so that's how we handle it. And then we allow confirmation to mark the reception of some of the most fundamental catechesis courses that we offer, like Old Testament catechesis, New Testament catechesis, and then Lutheran catechesis.
Jeremy via Twitter in Salt Lake City says, "Hi, Pastor Bender. Not sure how this fits into the program, but I wonder if there's room to discuss reluctant catechumens, best practices and such. Maybe it could be too case by case, but I suspect a lot of parents like me get their plans derailed under constant pressure."
Yes. I think that the pastor, by reluctant catechumens, he's generally talking about youth catechumens. So you've got families in the congregation, and then their youth are going through instruction and so forth, but they're doing so reluctantly. This is a long process, Jeremy. And by that I mean pastors need to be encouraged to catechize parents, catechize adults, catechize the whole congregation in catechetical practice long term. It's why in one of our recent sessions we talked about a little tool that we use, the Congregation at Prayer, that's putting the small catechism and passages of Scripture to be learned by heart in front of the whole congregation, so that the more we move instruction away from a class into the entire culture and life of the congregation, the easier it is in moving reluctant catechumens into willing catechumens. We have to understand that the sinful flesh is hard at work. There are so many influences upon our children at the earliest ages, television programs, movies. If they don't go to a Lutheran school and they're not homeschooled in the public school, they're getting inundated with all kinds of anti-Christian rhetoric on a daily basis. That's why establishing the culture of catechesis and pastors teaching parents how to catechize, working with parents. If you win the parents, if you have them, then, and they are from the earliest ages possible in their homes, having a family altar, devotional life, and working with their children and singing hymns and reading Bible stories. And the catechism is learned by heart. If you got a kindergarten or first, second grader that already learns, has known by heart all six chief parts and their explanations, the reluctance is going to go away. But the longer they are delayed in entering into catechesis, the children of our members, the more the tendency toward reluctancy and stubbornness will persist. And that's nothing but less than the sinful flesh at work.
Chris is listening in Chicago. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi, Chris.
I was wondering how to best encourage members in their further catechetical instruction beyond confirmation. So many things other than the small catechism in our foundational documents to encourage people to read and to study and to delve into God's Word more. But once you are confirmed, regardless of what the age is, you don't usually even go back to the small catechism.
Chris, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in Chicago. So in essence here, she's asking, never leaving the catechism behind, what can supplement this as we go throughout life as a lifelong pursuit?
Well, we should never think of the catechism as mere child's play. We learn it by heart when we are younger, and one of the genius things about the catechism is that the older we get, the deeper the understanding, level of understanding can be with the catechism. And also, we see connections all of the time, the longer we live and the more we meditate on the catechism with the rest of Scripture. So if that's part of what's behind her question, you know, where do we go from here? And this is the thing that I'm 59 years old, and 7th and 8th grade, I learned the catechism by heart. In these last year, during this pandemic, I'm seeing insights from the catechism that are revealed in Luther's study of the Scriptures. And as I read those Scriptures and I encounter things from the catechism, that there's a connection made that I hadn't seen before. So that's why this text, we're so quickly able to do what Luther says. We learn it and then we put it on the shelf and we're done with that. We move on to something else. No, the Lutheran piety is that we keep revisiting these texts over and over again. So I tell pastors that the single most important thing that they can do is learn by heart, word for word, the catechism. Learn it in English, Luther's explanations, so I could wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you could say it. If our pastors don't learn it that way, how will our people learn it that way? But when you do, it begins to help you interpret the Scriptures, to study the Word of God, to read the Scriptures. It helps you interact with one another and so forth. And so that same thing needs to be inculcated in our congregations.
Tina asks, do you have some hope to give to parents whose children have been baptized, catechized in the faith, brought up in the church, and confirmed in the 8th grade, but since college have fallen away from the faith?
Yes, I do, and this is an important question. It's why we teach our children from the earliest ages, because what we're giving them is God's Word. We're giving them Christ. They've been called by name in the waters of holy baptism. They've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith in Christ. The Lord has made many precious promises to them. Among them, I will never leave you or forsake you. When we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And so for a Christian parent who has seen a son or a daughter wander away from the faith into the far-off country like the prodigal son, pray. Pray on the basis of God's promises to that child who's now a grown child. And do like Monica did for St. Augustine before his repentance, pray. Pray daily, pray weekly, and pray not in desperation, but in confidence, commending that child to the promises that God has made to that child. And call upon the Lord to do what He has promised. And it may be years before you see the fruit of that, and you may not in this life. But continue to love that child, continue to be Christ to that child, continue to show mercy. You can't condone if they've gone off into the far country and done wicked things. You don't condone the wickedness, but you still love the child. You still love the grown adult, and you still do your best to interact with them in every way that you can. But pray, and do not lose heart. There is a special relationship that we're given in the waters of holy baptism. We are named the children of God, and that gives us certain privileges and rights. And so if, for example, we as sinful human beings would never stop loving our child, even if our child goes astray, how much more our Heavenly Father will never stop loving them for Christ's sake. And we need to understand that, and we need to believe that, and we need to pray on the basis of that kind of faith.
Christopher says, will Pastor Bender please give any assistance for using the catechism in studying the Bible?
Ah, yes, that's a good question. This goes back to what we just said a moment ago. Memorize it, learn it by heart, word for word. And then, and again, Todd, I'm talking about the primary texts and then Luther's explanations. I'm not talking about the academic material that's called a synodical explanation that we publish. That has its use, and it can be a valuable resource. But in terms of allowing the catechism to help you interpret the scriptures, that happens best when the catechism is learned word for word, by heart. Then when you're talking about, for example, Matthew 13, the kingdom parables, the kingdom of God is like a sower went out to sow seed, or the kingdom of God is like a merchant searching for pearls and so forth. You go to the catechism, second petition of the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes when our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit so that by His grace we believe His holy word and lead godly lives here in time and forever after in eternity. So there you have the concept of the kingdom of God elucidated by the catechism. And when you know it well, then when you come upon those kingdom parables or other uses of the word kingdom of God, you realize we're talking not about an earthly kingdom in the sense of armies and soldiers and so forth. We're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and faith. So this is what I mean by the catechism helps give us ears to rightly hear the scriptures. Since we believe, and properly so, that the catechism is a faithful exposition of the Holy Scriptures, that when we know it by heart and we memorize it, it actually becomes a hermeneutic, a guide to interpreting those scriptures, since it faithfully articulates what the scriptures teach.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest on this Monday, July the 6th. It's open lines on Luther's Small Catechism and Lutheran Catechesis. Pastor Bender is director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. We'll talk about parental incompetence, or at least feeling incompetent, right after this.
Is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by.
What is God calling you to do? What is the one thing you were born to do? Are you truly doing what you're called to do? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or learn more about Callings for Life at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Callings for Life, God's Plan, Your Purpose.
Timeless truth that prepares scholars to serve their neighbor in all of life through their various vocations. This is what scholars receive at Wittenberg Academy. If you are looking for a solidly Lutheran online education for your child, consider Wittenberg Academy, where doctrine is sound, academics are rigorous, and relationships are genuine. We offer full-time, part-time, and diploma track options to meet your child's Lutheran education needs. We partner with brick-and-mortar schools and homeschools. You can find out more at wittenbergacademy.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Lord, when we fall or go astray, absolve and lift us up, we pray, and through the sacrament increase our faith till we depart in peace.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Luther's Small Catechism and Lutheran Catechesis, some open lines with our listeners. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, tell us a little bit about the Concordia Catechetical Academy.
Back in 1988, I began graduate studies in the area of catechetics and introduced to Luther's primary texts on catechesis. And my teacher, Dr. Kenneth Corby, at the time, after our assignments were completed and so forth, at the pastors' conferences around the country that he spoke at, and as an adjunct professor at both Concordia Seminary St. Louis and Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, started to tell pastors, if you want to know who's doing the putting the flesh on the bones that I'm giving you with respect to catechesis, you want to talk to Pastor Peter Bender. And I was pastor in Iowa at the time, and I got all these inquiries about my catechetical materials. Well, most of them were chicken scratch on paper or in my head. And then I took a call here to Sussex in 1991, Peace Lutheran Church, where I've been ever since. And I finally approached the congregation to form the Concordia Catechetical Academy, a simple charter for the promotion of Luther's Small Catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis in the church at large. And by an action of our voters' assembly, the CCA was formed, and we have an annual symposium, and we produce catechetical materials. The parish council of our congregation serves as the board of governors for it. And so, in that sense, it is very much a part of my call here as the pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex to be also the director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and the production of these materials, which are used around the country and overseas, Scandinavia, Australia, Africa, Nigeria, Ghana, South Africa, and other places. There's translation work being done for Latin America, too, of Lutheran catechesis.
Learn more about the Concordia Catechetical Academy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Eleanor listens in Minnesota and writes, with a lot of friends who are just graduating, getting married, and having children, or working toward this point, I get asked often how they should pursue catechizing their children and structuring daily catechesis in their life. This often is accompanied by worry and fear that none of us are particularly pious or remember everything we were taught, and the concern that we therefore aren't mature enough or educated enough to catechize children well. How do you recommend young adults control these worries or learn to confidently and adequately teach their children? Or perhaps, how do you encourage people not to let the fear of incompetency stop them from incorporating catechesis into the lives and into their children's lives?
Just do it. Don't wait for how will I be perfect at doing this. It's the genius of the catechism. You got the simple texts of the Ten Commandments and their explanations, the creed and its explanation, the Lord's Prayer and its explanation, and you've got the hymnal. So read Bible stories, recite portions of the catechism, begin the process of learning it by heart at your own pace as you're able, with your children at their own pace as they're able. Read Bible stories, sing hymns, pray around the dinner table, pray before you go to bed at night when you get up in the morning. That's how you go about it. Just do it. Just get started. And the more you do it, the more it will come easier. This is where I would really advise newlyweds. They haven't had children. Their children are just starting. This is the time that it's a lot easier to begin. And if you begin the practice now, you know, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, then when those children get to be in the years of puberty, when their life starts to be changing, you will have been doing with them from the littlest ages possible, singing of hymns and reciting of the catechism and listening to Bible stories. It'll be a lot easier for you to have conversations as you grow with them in the faith and in the practice of the faith through the family altar, through daily prayer. And that's why going back to the tool that I provided, the congregation at prayer, to try to give to our members, individuals, couples, and families, a week-by-week daily diet of Bible story reading, Bible verses, catechism, and hymns to sing and to pray and to confess.
Peggy says, having not been a lifelong Lutheran and a former victim of mainstream evangelical teaching that was needed to be unlearned, I have thoroughly needed, enjoyed, and appreciated the comprehensive catechetical training that Pastor Bender has presented in this series based on Lutheran catechesis. I've listened to some of the podcasts more than once due to so many details and explanations presented. Since I'm a visual learner with adult children and some school-age grandchildren, I think my household in North Carolina would be able to use this resource if we are selected to win one. Thanks so much for all that you do at Issues, Etc. Keep Christ's body informed, updated, and so wonderfully blessed. Blessings to you and your guests. What are your thoughts there, Peter?
Well, Peggy, thank you very much, and I'm glad to hear your comments. I think that, you know, for those who are somewhat familiar with the Lutheran catechesis materials and the two books that you're offering, Todd, from us, Lutheran Catechesis Catechumen and Catechist Editions, those are really kind of the pinnacle works in a certain sense. I wouldn't take a second grader through Lutheran catechesis, for example. I want to have Bible stories with them. So we use Old Testament and New Testament catechesis with the children who have gone through the rich Sunday school Bible stories. Many of them have already learned much of the catechism. That becomes the foundation in Bible, Old Testament, New Testament vocabulary. After they know the catechism by heart, after they know this rich Bible story history, then Lutheran catechesis, the catechumen edition, is used by me. Usually it's around the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade types of ages. That's also Lutheran catechesis, what I use for adult catechesis, a 24-week course. So you've got to remember, our listeners have to remember, parents have to remember, it's a lot simpler than you think. You read Bible narratives from the Old Testament. You read the Gospels in the New Testament. You learn by heart the primary and secondary texts of the catechism, and you pray and sing with your family. Let that be the culture. And then, as they progress, you can go through something like Old Testament catechesis, which is 32 stories that we do, and there's 184 vocabulary terms in Old Testament. And then after that, New Testament, the basic narratives of the New Testament, material from the book of Acts and from the Gospels, the major festivals of the church year as they come out in the Gospels, and then there's 212 terms there. Well, that's a lot of terms. There's 400 terms between those Old and New Testament. And then you have the vocabulary. You've got rich biblical knowledge for yourself and for your children. And then you move on to Lutheran catechesis and an in-depth study of the catechism text that you've already learned by heart, but now you can approach it already knowing those words, but taking them to a different level. When you use Lutheran catechesis and children or youth have no memory of the catechism, they haven't learned it by heart, that's a mistake. Then it becomes like theological boot camp. Lutheran catechesis is best gone through those 24 lessons when the catechism is learned by heart already and when Old and New Testament Bible knowledge is well in place. And then the pastor, as I say, he has more fun than he's allowed to have with his youth catechumens.
Finally, if you would, with about a minute here, Peter, just simply make the case for catechesis both in the home and as an integral part of a Christian congregation's life.
I want to know Christ. I want my children to know Christ. I want them to know the love of God. That's what catechesis is all about. St. Paul said, "Whatever was to my profit, I consider loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but having the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith." That's what catechesis is finally all about. It's about a relationship with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God in human flesh, who suffered and died for us. So I think when we start to think about catechesis as Christian education, that's a mistake. We need to think about catechesis is chiefly about faith in Christ, repentance and faith in Christ, and how that repentant faith is lived out in a life that gathers regularly with the body of Christ to hear word and sacrament preached and administered, that prays, that confesses, that forgives one another, that lives faithfully in one's vocation, that learns to sing and to listen to the Bible and to speak the words of God to those who need the same comfort of the gospel that we ourselves have received. That's what catechesis is all about, that we may know Christ, the power of his resurrection, and yes, even the fellowship of sharing in his suffering.
Peggy and Chris in Chicago, if you would send your mailing address to us, talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll mail you Lutheran Catechesis, Catechist, and Catechumen editions. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Peter, thank you very much for a great series.
Thank you, Todd, very much. It was an honor to be with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss the deadly quality of life ethic with Wesley Smith, and we'll talk with Kristen Day about keeping the Hyde Amendment in the Democratic Party platform. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Bahama Mama, Ocean Pacific, Paradise Island. Retreat from the heat with a shaved ice snow cone from Tropical Snow in Caseyville, Illinois. It's right across the street from Collinsville High School. Tropical Snow is open weekdays from 1 to 9 and weekends from noon to 9. Premium snow, epic flavors, lots of love. Tropical Snow, across the street from Collinsville High School at 2134 South Morrison Avenue in Caseyville.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.